How do we get to know these people, the heirs of the Prophet, to start our journey with one of them? First of all, you have to look for them. You have to find some of them. In the past ages, past centuries, people used to travel across the Islamic world. You might have read the biographies of some of these great Gnostics, including Bishr al-Hafi, Ibrahim ibn Adham, al-Imam al-Junaid, Dhunnun al-Misri. These great figures whose biographies is written and well talked about in the Sufi works such as Al-Risala of al-Imam al-Qushayri, now available in English. They all traveled around the world with one goal: to find the good guide to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You may find a lot of people who can teach knowledge, who can give fatwas, but when it comes to practice, they don't act upon what they teach. Or they might act upon what they teach, but unable to take the hands of others. And here I would like to give you the example of someone who can swim and a lifeguard. There's a huge difference between someone who can swim, but to be a lifeguard needs extra training. And this is for people who would like to work in the field of da'wah, thinking that they can help others. So they start arguing about Islam, about aqidah, with Wahhabis, with others, and they get refuted very easily because these people of bid'ah are well trained. All they do throughout their life is to study and train with their own bid'ahs. I have met Wahhabis who don't study Bukhari and Muslim at all. They don't know Bukhari or Muslim or Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi, Sunan, or other books of hadith. They memorize 200 hadith made up. The moment any scholar quotes a hadith that is made up, they come and say, this is a mawdu', this is made up. People think they are scholars. They have never studied the books of hadith. The same also in other fields, in other domains. So don't be lured thinking that you can help others. Help yourself first. You don't throw yourself in water to save someone if you're not trained to be a lifeguard. To be a Sufi master or to be a sheikh or to be an heir of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes more than knowledge. Knowledge is the basis of any scholar, any Sufi master. More than this, it takes practice. Beyond practice, training in the field of yaqeen, ikhlas, mahabba, rida, shukr, baqa, fana, and so on, until the person dies to his own whims, to his own temptations. Then it needs extra training to guide people and take them. If someone is in front of you, a practical example, and probably most young people now have the wish to look at young women. And young women have the wish, desire to look at young men. You tell them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Tell the believers to lower their gaze. They say, yes, indeed, but we're unable to do so. Now you tell these people 100 times, lower your gaze, they won't be able to. Although they know it's obligatory to lower your gaze, they know that it is embarrassing, it is haram, it is shameful on them to look at women. They don't wish for others to look at their sisters or their wives. They know it is haram. You tell them 100 times, it doesn't help, because you're not getting through the right channel to treat this disease. This is a disease. You're a doctor. You have to define the disease itself. Don't be lured by the symptoms. Looking at women is symptoms. Looking, for example, not getting up for Fajr prayer is a symptom. Like fever is a symptom of hundreds of diseases. You have to define the disease itself. It might be simple flu. It might be infection, liver infection, something more serious. So these people, when you tell them once, twice, three times, and so on, lower your gaze, they don't. You should tell them, recite one page of the Quran every day. Recite one page of the Quran every day. Recite Surah Yasin every day. Recite, give them a remedy. Tell them once, you have to lower your gaze. They don't bother about it. But when they recite Quran, one page of the Quran, one hizb of the Quran, time for dhikr, a certain time devoted to dhikr every day, then they will be able to lower their gazes even automatically without them feeling that they have made any efforts. Because light expels darkness. The light of the Quran, the light of dhikr, comes in the heart, darkness now goes away. This is the example of our journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the importance of the guys and the shaykhs. Everyone must have a shaykh. That was the case of our ancestors. Not a shaykh that is a superstar you're attached to, you love and buy his CDs and just listen to him. A shaykh you accompany, a shaykh you obey, a shaykh you emulate. Then this relationship with the shaykh will benefit you in this life and will be the channel between you and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, because of the isnad, because of the chain. And as we started, we finish. We started with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We should finish with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. If we want to reach Allah, we need to go through the door of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We won't be able to knock at his door unless we have permission. Permission given to us from his heirs. Even Abu Bakr as-Siddiq himself worked as a doorman, worked as a secretary for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from year 8 of Al-Hijrah onward. When delegations came and wanted to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he used to tell them how to greet Rasulullah, how to sit in front of Rasulullah, what to do in his presence. Trained them, prepared them, then they would go in. As mentioned in some works of As-Sira, in At-Taratib Al-Idariya of Shaykh Abdul Hayy Al-Kattani. You need the scholars to prepare you to the meeting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open for us the way to travel to Him. Brothers and sisters, this life is ending. And next life is endless. We should work for the endless life. Don't be lured by anything that comes around here. Let's have no worry of this life. Make all your worries one, the hereafter. This life, we need food, drinks, get married, business, study. Everything is going to happen to us according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and according to our struggle. We will be rewarded for our struggle. Don't sit at home and say, I want to become a scholar. Don't sit at home and say, I want to enter al-Jannah. The same, don't sit at home and say, I want to become a physician or I want to become a writer or a poet. Struggle, you will be rewarded for your struggle, but you know that in your heart there is only one thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your heart is empty from everything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and anything Allah orders you to do or to love or to be attached to. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, as-sahaba, at-tabi'een, alul bayt, al-ulama, and your neighbors, your relatives, your parents, everything stems from your love and attachment to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the reality of tawheed. This is the ultimate level of la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah. There is nothing other than Allah. Muhammad is his messenger. Try to empty your hearts from everything other than him. Try to travel to him with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam being your guide in the company of some of the Sufi masters in your countries, in your neighborhood, in your mosques, and I'm sure that you will find some light, and I'm sure that your life will be ended with the best ending, La ilaha illallah. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He put us together in this blessed gathering, that He put us together in the hereafter, inshallah, in Al-Jannah. Now we are talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I hope that we will be talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in His actual presence. My belief is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is with us here. And this is my strongest belief in this moment. But still I wish for those people who are unable to witness Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, they get an opportunity to witness him and be with him and sit with him, if not in this life, in the hereafter in Al-Jannah. When we have a dhikr gathering, a session like this session, and we speak of him sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in his presence, as Hassan ibn Thabit used to speak of him, or Thabit ibn Qais, his khatib, used to speak of him in his presence, in front of others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the people who organized this conference and put us together with Al-Jannah. Jazakumullahu khayran, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.